Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you, live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Trend On, featuring guest interviews and current trends from businesses to entertainment to lifestyle topics. And here's your host, the engaging Tamara Lee.
Good morning, and welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. I am your host, Tamara Lee of Tamara Lee LLC, a communications company meeting the needs of clients on multiple communications platforms, from websites, mobile, social content, writing, blogging, cultural, and image and style consulting. And you can find me at TamaraLeeLLC.com, TamaraLeeGHLLC.com. And we want to thank you for joining us on today's Trend On. We have a fun show coming up with a past Link Local Network colleague who used to have a show, Segue to Success, on Link Local Network. So we have lots of good tips and trends, and we are all about the trends here on Tamara Lee's Trend On. And so wrapping up your year end of 2014 with business tips and trends will be our guest, Brent Hamachek of Segue. Brent and his team provide services for nearly every aspect of building, maintaining, and recovering success for the privately held businesses. A lot of good practical, professional, and educational tips here on looking to that business side of the holidays and the new year. So we want to welcome Brent to our show. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Tamara. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Always fun to have you on the show. We had you about a year ago as our guest, and so we'll kind of just touch on that a little bit of what the big picture trends are and then get into the practical aspect of things. Before we get to that, I do have a couple of shout-outs here for the happy birthdays. As we know, Heidi, did you watch the Packer game Sunday?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you missed an awesome, great game. It was just one of those matchup of the probably two favorite quarterbacks in the NFL, but so good Packer game with Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers, and it was Aaron Rodgers' birthday yesterday, so just all wonderful things with our Packers here. Good week to be a Packer fan. And then there's another birthday I heard coming up this Saturday.
And who would that be, Tamara?
Dead air space. Happy birthday, Heidi.
Thank you.
A little bit ahead of time there, so
yeah.
Yeah, little bird told me that. So anyway, all right, we're at the stage where we try not to have birthdays or be reminded
yes.
of them. So
that would be my goal.
Okay, well, sorry to put it on air. So
that's okay.
Do you have big plans for celebrating? Or
no, I do not. I have no plans, actually.
Oh, well, someone needs to get on that.
Yeah.
So that's where you say, this is what I want to do. We're at that age where you can take matters into your own hands. So speaking of that is a man who takes matters of other people's businesses into his hands and makes wonderful things happen. So how are you, Brent?
I am dandy. I mean, that sounded like a perfect segue into the interview. And at Segue, we love segues. That's what we're all about.
We are just on that.
Yes, it's all about transitions. So, and happy birthday to you on Saturday, Heidi. I hope that you come up with something wonderful to do. And if not, maybe the next 30 minutes will be, you know, as good as it gets for the week, which I hope isn't the case. That would be sad.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you.
We'll try to entertain you. You bet.
So, as we look back to it, was just about a year ago, and we were talking, we'd covered a number of things, and which I'll let people know at the end of the show how to go back to our archival listens for great content and past shows if they want to, you know, they're so compelled after the next 20 minutes they want to do that. But so where are we at with the wrapping up the year and looking at the trends and the big picture for then 2014 and then starting for 2015 in the business landscape?
Well, a couple of metaphors come to mind for where we're at in the world that our company lives in. And, you know, we work with the privately owned business. and we work with a lot of smaller companies. So the breadth of our work ranges from startups, so pre-revenue companies, to turnaround situations where the company's struggling, and then everything in between. But what we're looking at now is, imagine if you're wandering through a forest in the section of the California redwoods, and as you walk underneath these large, giant trees above you, you notice that there's very little ground cover below. The trees are so big and they block out the sunlight, so you don't get a lot of vegetation at the lower level. And that's exactly what's happening in the American business economy right now. This is becoming very much a big business world. And big doesn't necessarily mean big in the sense of Goldman Sachs or Walmart or Microsoft. Big just means bigger than the independently owned smaller company. So we're seeing that because of the burden of taxation and regulation, the cost of hiring people, whole lot of things coming together, we're seeing that it gets more and more difficult to open and sustain a smaller privately run business, and it favors the bigger guy. So if you were a one-person service firm, you kind of need to join forces with five other people to be successful. If you were a $5 million manufacturer, you're going to toss in the keys, sell to somebody else, or become part of a $50 to $100 million manufacturer. Size matters, and we're getting very little reforestation at the ground level. So that's sort of one metaphorical description of what's taking place. Another view of it would be, we all know in the science fiction futuristic movies we see where the sun's never out, it's always raining, and machines rule the world. You know, there's the spaceships patrolling up above, and then there's the resistance movement. You know, the folks in bad clothing living in the sewers or under the viaducts, you know, who come out at night and maybe take back a building in Brooklyn, and it's a big victory for them. That's the way the smaller business world has been operating. So we're in the shadows, and it's a very predatory environment with larger companies being able to exert a lot of advantage over the smaller guys. And the smaller guys are looking for places where they can take and hold ground. They're looking for smaller victories. And so within those two metaphors, that's sort of a sketch of where we're at. You don't get a lot of newspaper coverage about it because there's no newspapers anymore. But you don't get a lot of news coverage about it because it's not sexy. It's just not that interesting to people. But we have to remember that most jobs get created and most innovation takes place not from big, large, established firms, but it's from the smaller and the newer businesses that have always driven the growth in America. And that's a struggling market right now.
Well, and that's what I was thinking as you're talking, but isn't it contrary to the American premise that the heart of America is the small business, that that's the lifeblood? Oh. So if you're choking off the lifeblood, what does that say?
Well, look, there's a myth that even myself in my youth, which was a long time ago, that even I clung to, and that was that we lived in a world where it was, you know, big business versus big government. You were either on the big business side or you were on the big government side. But that's a myth. The truth is that big business and big government exist and walk together. And it's really big business and big government against small business and entrepreneurship. And that's the piece that people just don't seem to appreciate enough or understand. Here's an example. You know, for years, small businesses have been served in this country by getting their financing through small independent community banks. And those banks that were owned in the community and operated by regular folks, you know, kind of like the Bailey Building and Loan in It's a Wonderful Life, they provided the funding that the small startup businesses needed to have. Well, those banks are all gone now. the financial crisis caused those banks to become insolvent, some for real, some just by government definition. And those banks have either been closed or swallowed up by larger banks. And no new banks are being opened in the United States. The FDIC isn't approving new bank charters. So banks are getting fewer and fewer, larger and larger, and that means they are unable and unwilling to serve the needs of the smaller privately owned business. That makes it hard for them to get the leverage they need to grow, so they can't grow. They can't hire people. They can't build things. They can't provide services. It's very, very difficult.
So then I'm thinking as you talk about that, if they're not issuing the new
I'm glad
banking,
one of us is.
Yeah. Well, good, because I'm like, okay, how do I segue that to the next question? But for startups, say, you know, like there's supposed to be this climate or this ripe environment for startups right now, and everything's all about entrepreneurs and Texas. But if you don't understand that piece of that's the bigger picture scenario, and you go ahead and start up your business, do you hit that wall pretty quickly?
Well, so there's a few different things at play. And, you know, in our company here, we're working with a couple of startup companies. And we know the numbers about how new businesses are starting up in Texas and they're doing better than other states. Well, that's not an accident. There's a reason for that. The state regulatory, the government environment in Texas is more friendly to startup business, to business in general, than tends to be the case in other states. So it is not a coincidence that they wind up with more startup business opportunities. It's a very big factor. And the other thing that can be a little misleading is you can look at new business formation statistics, and they can look very good. But we live in a time right now where because of the growth in the Internet, and because it's so difficult to open up a business where you actually need four walls and equipment and employees and those kinds of things, everybody's looking to make a living in their underwear. And that means, how do I start a business that I can run from my home, where I can use technology, create a website, build an app, do something, and just make my living at my laptop?
Oh, I went a whole different direction with that.
So, well, and
okay,
I, you know,
bring it back to business.
Not knowing the demographic of your audience, for some people they might be, you know, quite titillated at that thought.
I'm kidding. Right. Go back.
But so people will form a company, and that's a new business startup. But forming that company doesn't have anything to do with ultimately producing anything, generating revenue, being successful, creating new jobs, all the things that, you know, we would normally associate with business formation and growth. So for the startup company today, for the startup company that actually wants to build a real business, it is more difficult than it has ever been. The constraints and the impediments that you face coming right out of the box are greater in number and significance than we have seen in our lifetime in this country. And that's just the evolution and progression of a really large Leviathan state.
So with the recent elections, is there any kind of optimism or possibility of a different, because the picture you just painted looks very gray and bleak.
Well,
is there a little sunshine on that?
Well, you know, and I don't mean to sound, you know, we're in the holiday season, so you don't want to sound like a bucket of cold water, although I don't know that a bucket of cold water makes a sound, so perhaps that was a bad mixed metaphor. But I wouldn't be too terribly optimistic about the election results of a month ago. And the reason is that what has happened in the United States with the business climate has been built over a very long period of time, is the result of a large number of successive decisions that have been made, bureaucracies that have been built. The momentum in the economy is a momentum towards a larger business, slower growth, less innovative, more stagnant marketplace. You don't elect some new senators and representatives and reverse that trend. The weight of the bureaucracy alone is going to pull it forward. It's just like trying to brake a truck on a dime at 80 miles an hour on a highway. It doesn't work. So is it a good sign? Maybe. Could it be very ephemeral? Likely. But certainly it doesn't do anything for the immediate future. It doesn't change anything.
So then how do you work with businesses, given that climate and where we're at? I mean, people are already in business. They want to have some optimism that there's going to be, even if it's on a slower track, growth and sustainability. So what services do you work with, and what are some of the issues that come up for the small business owner that has more to do with their day-to-day success or failure?
All right. Well, there's two rules that we apply in any kind of engagement when we work with a privately owned business, and they can be summarized as follows: get real and get specific. So it's very, very common for people to have all sorts of ideas about what they'd like to do. And that could be ideas about the business they want to start, or it could be ideas about the business they have they want to expand, or how they're going to fix it. But oftentimes their dreams are couched in a way that they're very, very general, and they aren't terribly realistic in terms of what they could do. So we need people to be realistic about their circumstances and their opportunities, and then we need them to get specific. You know, so often it is the case that business will say, here's a market we're going to target in 2015. Here's what we're going to do. How are you going to do it? Well, we're going to advertise more. Okay, what are you going to advertise and to whom? And you start to learn, as you ask those very specific questions, that all they really had was a general idea of something it was that they thought that they might like to do, but they had not worked the idea through to the specific implementation and what they would actually have to do. And specificity is very important. You know, whether you're starting a new company or whether you're trying to grow one, setting your sights on a defined target and then defining the path you want to take to get there, it's critically important. But it's also painful and tedious and sometimes kind of almost boring. And so people don't spend enough time getting real and getting specific. And that's what we try to make them do.
Okay, so then what are some of the ways that by not doing that they get into trouble that then they need to look at?
Well, when you know, if you look at the work we do on the turnaround side of things, you know, when we step into a company that is struggling and now maybe their bank called, or maybe they found you through an accountant or an attorney, and they finally say, we need help. You know, it's really very similar to the experience of the addict or the alcoholic that hits bottom. There's been a series of things that have happened to that business that have caused it to finally say, we need help. And sometimes it's too late and sometimes it isn't. But invariably along the way, there were plenty of signs that they were on their way to the bottom. But the signs were ignored because there can be this feeling of the problem we're experiencing is short term. This is going to turn around. This won't last forever. I'm sure I'm going to get the next client to replace the one I just lost. There is this feeling of it's going to be better tomorrow that's based on absolutely nothing. And then finally you get to the point where the electric company gives you the shut off your power notice in 10 days where you say, well, this isn't going the way that I thought it would. So for that independent business owner, one of the keys is brutal, cold, hard, regular assessment of where you are at the moment, and then also taking a look at the model for your business that you have and saying, what could foreseeably go wrong in the next 3 minutes, 3 weeks, or 3 years that could change all of this? And those assessments need to be ongoing. They need to be continuous. Nobody can anticipate an unanticipatable event, but the truth is most of the things that go wrong for companies could be anticipated. But there has to be that cold, hard look, and it has to be done continuously.
Okay, so that's once a company is up and ongoing, kind of like your health checkups, I would think you'd want to, as your business, do the financial health checkups along the way. What do you recommend for a new business starting out so that they start off on the best possible footing for having that success, given that there's a maybe a negative climate that's working more against their success?
Well, the first thing that you want to do is you want to hire Segway and our sister company, SK Partners, to come in and help you.
Of course you do.
So, but if you're not able to do that, or if our line's busy when you call, and regardless, the key thing is for a startup company is define exactly what it is that you want to be. Now, that could sound so simple that it's useless advice, but it isn't. Because in the two startups that we're working with right now, both of those companies have gone through, since the day they hired us, a many months long process of taking what they originally thought their business was going to be and then defining exactly what it was going to be and how it would step into the marketplace. It's one thing to say, I want to open up a business and I want to sell electronics. Okay, that can be great. You want to open up a business and sell electronics. What kind of electronics? To whom? What would be the mix of your products on your shelves? Are you going to make anything you sell, or are you going to buy all of it and resell it? Many people step into an industry because they have a passion or knowledge for what it is they want to be involved in, but they haven't thought through all of the steps in terms of what it is they actually are and what it is they're actually delivering. So in the case of one of our companies, to make it very stark, they thought they were going to be a brick-and-mortar manufacturer of a particular product, and what they're turning into is a pure sales and marketing company of the same product with its manufacturing being outsourced. So that's a pretty big difference, and that's because they went through this critical self-examination of what is it that we're going to be once we open our doors. That's the toughest thing for a startup to really get their arms around. Because once you start, it's too late.
So I was going to ask then, too, with do you think for businesses there's sort of this mindset that there's these obstacles out there, but everybody's got to go about life and live and work. So is it maybe sort of that mindset, rather than doing the due diligence, they just plow into things?
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, and nowhere in the world of business, in my experience, you know, I spent 15 years in banking, and then I've spent the last 15 years in consulting, and I've had in the last 15 years approximately 100 client engagements, and in 60 different industries. And nowhere do you see what you just said evidenced more than in the world of restaurants and taverns. Because here's a story that's so old, it's told at the campfire site. A fellow works in a factory for 30 years. He's ready to retire. He's in his 50s. He's got his pension. It's 401k, little nice little nest egg, home zone free and clear. He's still young. He still feels good. And he goes to retire and says, well, gosh, I can't just sit home all the time. What'll I do? I know. I'll open a restaurant and bar. How hard can it be? Everybody eats and everybody drinks too much. So I'll get a few chairs. I'll hire a chef. I'll buy some tables and put up some big screen TVs, and away we go. The failure rate for new restaurants and taverns is so high that, I mean, banks won't even lend money to them. And the reason is that it's a real business. The world is incredibly competitive. Running a restaurant and a tavern is very complex. But everybody just thinks they can do it. It won't be that hard. How tough can it be? So they get, they buy themselves a building or they sign a lease, they throw their retirement money in, they open the doors, and a few months later, everything's gone. And it's that lack of planning and a lack of appreciation for just how hard it is to run a business, any business.
So can you pretty much, if you have sound business principles, it's almost like it doesn't matter what your business is then to some degree, and I realize that's a very general statement, but applying those sound business principles and some of the areas in which you provide your consulting services, that then you've increased your success rate. And then it sort of doesn't matter how you apply them to what your thing is.
Well,
would that be a very general?
Let me say it a different way that I've always found very fascinating, and that is, in the last 15 years, and in those 100 engagements in 60 different industries, invariably when I start working on any type of project with somebody in an industry where I have not previously worked, the conversation always starts by them letting me know, look, I know that you've done a lot of different things. I know that you've been in a lot of different industries, but you need to know something. This industry's different. This industry isn't like any other. So the things that you learned and tried in other places, they're not necessarily going to work here. That's the standard line that I've heard so many times, I can't recall. But the part that people miss is that because they're in it, they feel like it's unique. It is to some extent. Every industry has its nuances. Every industry does.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, business principles are called principles for a reason. They're portable. They move from one business to the next, from one industry to the next, from one tier within industries to the next. Then it's the application of those principles given the nuances of that particular industry or business that make things different. So, yeah, if you've got good, sound business principles and you know the blocking and tackling of running or starting a company, in theory, you can do it anywhere. You do have to take a few minutes to learn the particulars about that industry, that new one that you're stepping into. But principles matter. They really do matter.
Well, it kind of reminds me of a quote I heard this last week back to our Packers of, you know, Coach Belichick, they were like, you know, how are you going to run your defense? I think it was attributed to him, but I may have this wrong. And he's like, well, tell me who we're playing. So in that, it's like he's got his, you know, he's known as one of the best defense coaches out there. So you've got your principles in place, but then he's going to adjust those based on who they were playing. And apparently he didn't do a good enough job, or the Packers were just that good.
That's right. Well, and I live down here in the Chicago area, but I'm a lifelong Green Bay Packer fan, so I was absolutely thrilled at the outcome of Sunday's game. And I did watch every minute, although I watched the last couple of minutes through my fingers covering up my eyes because it was hard to watch. But it was a good result.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's where you see principles applied effectively, and they can be successful. Well, if you're the Packers side.
That's right.
Maybe they'll be tweaking and calling you from the Patriots side.
Well, maybe we'll have to do our next show together Super Bowl week with a little bit of luck.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm hoping we will be Packers side. I have a friend in Arizona. I'm like, okay, what are you doing about February? Can I come down? Just planning ahead. So, anyway, speaking of people calling you, how would someone get a hold of you if they wanted more information or to employ some of those great services you provide?
Sure. We our companies are together. There is Segway, which is spelled the wrong way, by the way, on purpose, S-E-G-U-E-W-A-Y, SegwaySolutions.com, and my email is Brent@SegwaySolutions.com. And then our sister company is SK Partners, the other consulting group that makes our team, and that's SKPartnersLimited.com, and it's LTD. And you can find us there and reach out to us. We do work with any privately owned company in virtually any situation. And SK has been around since 1988. I've been doing what I'm doing since the year 2000, the beginning of the year 2000. So there's a lot of experience, and there's a lot of good success stories along the way. And we're always happy to talk to people and just hear what their issues and problems are and share some free advice and thoughts and ideas if it's appropriate. So there's no charge to write an email or make a phone call.
Right, and that's the beauty of the world we do live in today, that even though you're based in Chicago, that's no longer a non-limiting factor in case you want to compose an email in your underwear and tackle your day.
That's correct. I mean, and we have, over the course of the last 15 years, I've worked with companies all around the United States, and we've even had engagements that are outside of the United States. So geography really isn't an issue anymore. The way we're able to communicate, the way we're able to travel with ease, geography is not an impediment.
All right. Well, wonderful. And at this point, I would say with the geography, that is one of our Link Local Network taglines of link locally and connect globally at linklocalnetwork.com. And so you can find out more there about Tamerlee's Trend On is one of several shows on the lineup on the Link Local Network. And Brent's former show, Segway to Success. Where does Segway Solutions come in?
Well, believe it or not, even though I spelled the word Segway wrong on purpose, the Segway domain name was still taken when I went to look for it. So I thought, what do? We solve problems. So I came up with Segway Solutions as the web domain name. But it always made me wonder who it was that took the time to purchase a word that didn't exist. I thought I'd be the only person crazy enough to do that. But there was somebody else.
You're a doppelganger in the business world out there. Stealing
God
your
help them. Yeah,
name.
God help them.
So anyway, so if you want to find out more on the, anyone listening wants to check out both past Tamerlee's Trend On shows, especially the one where Brent was my guest about a year ago, or Brent's former shows, all great content as well. Segway to Success was the name of his show on the Link Local Network. You can find those at linklocalnetwork.com as well as on Brent's website. There's a tab for that as well as on my TamerleeLLC.com under Trend On or blogs and radio shows. So check out all that good information. Link Local Network is a networking organization for professionals who utilize social media to promote their businesses and accomplish their goals with a strong local, national, and international following. So again, you can link locally, connect globally at linklocalnetwork.com. And normally I would have a Tamerlee's Trend On fashion, but which I should for either business fashion tips heading into 2015 or for the holidays here, but I just was on holiday this last weekend with Thanksgiving, so we can now transition from our fall colors. This will be my Trend On tip. Transition from your fall colors of the browns and the rusts and darker colors and put on a little bit of holiday cheer. Wear winter white for the holidays. That's always a fun look. And, of course, you can sparkle in your greens and or golds and silver, and then blues have become more popular, and reds and greens. So if you are feeling festive, deck yourself out with some little holiday fashion. So there is my Tamara Lee's Trend On Passion Tip. And I would like to say thank you to you, Brent.
Could
if you want
Tamara,
to hang up and not hang around for all this, but I know how you adore my passion tip.
Well, if I could, before I go, I'd like to give the audience a business fashion tip, if it's possible, because we talked about this entrepreneurial climate and people starting small technology businesses so they can work in their underwear at home. And if you're going to do that, just a tip, don't wear black socks with your boxer shorts. I think that, you know, it's just a bad look, and you never know if somebody's got the webcam turned on from the other direction. So don't
wear
black socks.
Well, we do know it's probably the NSA.
It could very well be. So whatever you do, no black socks with your boxer shorts, and that's a business fashion tip.
And that could explain why a lot of government employees don't dress well, because if they're taking their fashion cues from the webcams at home.
Unfortunately, government employees have been dressing badly long before the Internet, but that's for a different show. But thank you for having me as a guest. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Thank you for all of your insights and all that good stuff. And always a pleasure. So I will give you a ring back around Super Bowl time and see where we are heading into the Q1 of 2015.
Happy holiday and Merry Christmas to all your listeners.
Thank you. You too. And before we sign off, Heidi, do you have a shout-out to our sponsors?
We'd like to thank Mediavine Marketing, simplifying social media for successful businesses and professionals through training, consulting, and management. Mediavine Marketing, minimizing your efforts and maximizing your results. We'd also like to thank ZipBoss.com, a professional business cloud built and maintained by Metasoft, Inc. ZipBoss, create, market, succeed, where powerful websites are born. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you, Heidi, and I would like to thank all of you for joining us today on Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you, and invite you back next week for live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time on the Link Local Network. Next week, our guest will be the Sports Whisperer. So we will be talking of sports, I believe that's next week. Maybe it's the week after. I'm so confused. I can't believe it's December already. Anyway, great shows coming up in December, so just tune in so you don't miss any of them. And we will be talking sports at some point in December about lots going on. College, first year that the college playoffs have been top four team competition. Badgers did a great job this last weekend. So, and Oregon, my other state, is doing really well. They're one or two, so Oregon is no doubt going to be in the playoffs for the college games, and then, of course, as we head into wrapping up the Packers and NFL seasons and playoffs and the kickoff of basketball, so, and then all that other sports stuff, but it'll be fun. So we look forward to having you back, trending on, engaging your audience to trend on you. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.